Well, tonight, we're going to talk about God's love, or the love of the Father. I'm not a, some of you probably realize this already, but I'm not a real deep person. I'm not one of those people that you have to wonder, like, boy, if I could just get inside his head and wonder what he's thinking. I don't think I'm one of those types of people. So that's why our key passage for tonight is actually John 3:16. I think it's probably the most well-known verse out there. Probably everyone in this room has it memorized, I'd be willing to say, or bet. That's going to be our key passage. If you want to turn there, you can. Talking about the love of the Father, we just celebrated Father's Day a week ago from this past Sunday, and I now can understand what it's like to love a child. When I was thinking about this message, I thought I was going to look over here at all the teenagers and say, I know this might not make sense to you. You guys have children. You know what I'm talking about. There's a couple scattered throughout that are younger and may not have kids, but it's something when I was younger and people would say, oh, child, raising children is just, it's a blessing and what a miracle childbirth is, and just to raise children and have one of your own. Not that I wasn't paying attention, but you don't really understand it until you have one of your own. We've got little Emma and another one on the way. So I can now understand what it really means to have a love that only a father could have for his child. Now, it's a bittersweet day, Father's Day is for me. This year was obviously my first one being a father. 4 years ago, June 19th, happened to be Father's Day as well. And my dad was in Ohio with my mother, got up way early in the morning to use the restroom, went back, laid back down in bed, shut his eyes, and that was the last time he ever got up. And I share that story with you for two reasons, not for sympathy or bring anybody, make anybody teary-eyed or anything, but for two reasons. One, the thought of seeing Jesus Christ face to face. You know, death is something that we're all in this room gonna face one day unless the Lord returns. And to see Jesus Christ face to face, the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm confident my father was a believer. I know he's with the Lord Jesus right now and can see him sitting at the right hand of the Father. And to physically be able to see something that if we're believers tonight, we're all going to be able to see one day. And that's the physical reminder of the obedience the Son had when we look at his scarred hands and feet and his side. This verse was actually read this past Sunday in the Lord's Supper. Luke 22:41-46, it says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Now, me just being somebody who sometimes can look for a way to get out of something that I don't want to do, if I was Jesus in this sense and was praying, Lord, if it be your will, take this cup away from me, and a few minutes later I started sweating blood, I would probably say, well, that's a sign. I guess I don't have to do this anymore. That must be my way out. But no, we see Jesus was obedient to the Father. Just three verses after it says, blood falling to the ground, we see who's coming along. Here comes Judas. He's about to be arrested. He's about to be put on trial and put to death for something he didn't deserve, but for our sins. The second reason for sharing that Father's Day story was to live a moment in my Father's eyes as he was able to see his Heavenly Father. Now, I've heard it said before, I'm not the first one to say this, but those of you in this room who have lost a parent or a sibling or someone close to you that you love, you think, if they're a believer, boy, to to see what they're seeing right now and to experience what they're experiencing right at this very moment in heaven. So for me, that's my dad. I think about what he may be experiencing. For you, that may be somebody else. But sometimes late at night, I get up in the middle of the night to get a drink. Crazy things run through my head. You know, is the refrigerator going to be gone when I get out there? You know, somebody going to be sitting on my couch? But then sometimes more real things come into my head, like, you know, which wall am I going to run into tonight? You know, more practical things, or how many toys or hairbrushes am I going to step on? But this past Father's Day, something that ran through my mind was, hey, it's Father's Day. You know, this is my first one. I'm on the spot here. I didn't win a flower. I think that's just a Mother's Day thing. But something that ran through my mind was, you know, this is Father's Day, and it's a day to recognize fathers and kind of charge them to keep pressing on and celebrate them. But I can't help but think 4 years ago when my father got up that he didn't think to himself, hey, it's Father's Day. I've got four kids, grandkids spread out between three different states. You know, I don't hear from them every day, but today is the day I'm going to hear from them. And though I would have loved to be able to call him up on that day, can you imagine laying back down that morning thinking it's Father's Day? The next time you open your eyes, you're standing in front of your Heavenly Father. That's something for me that it's hard to talk about sometimes, but put yourself in that position and think, you know, the very next moment you're here, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The next breath that you could take may be right in front of Him. So we read John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So those loved ones who went before us, who can see that direct relationship, Father to Son, you know, the Father sitting on high and the Son at His right hand, you know, they can experience that and see that. But when we look at John 3:16, kind of break it up, I've got it into four little parts here. The first part being, so loved the world. It's not the physical world or the sins of the world, but it's the people of the world. God loves the whole world. He didn't die on the cross just for us in this room or, you know, for the people we're friends with. It was for the entire world. And it's not, there isn't a limit on the love. It's all-inclusive. Again, it's a covering of the entire world. He loves everyone in it. The next one, He gave His only begotten Son. He had one and only Son. He was perfect. Now, we have one daughter. Got another one on the way. Amanda has not borne me a son yet. But I don't imagine that looking at this from the aspect of it being a daughter or son makes it any different. There is nothing I wouldn't do to protect my daughter, and I wouldn't give her up for anything. I mean, I like y'all in this room a lot, but to think about giving, I would rather give my own life to save somebody than to give up my child, you know. And that doesn't mean that if you're, say, you know, one of those stereotypical homeschool families with 12 kids, oh, well, what's one, you know? But to say this is His only child, and He was perfect, you know, and He gave Him up, not to go through something easy. Obviously, it wasn't easy. We could see before it happened, He was agonizing over this to the point where He was sweating drops of blood. So He gave His only begotten Son. The next one, that whoever believes in Him, again, it's all-inclusive. It's not just for us in this room. It's for everybody. Whoever believes, the fourth part, should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, like I said before, we'll still die a physical death unless the Lord returns. But ultimately, our spirits will live on forever with God if we just believe on Him, as the Bible says. Now, if you break that part, or that verse, John 3:16, up into three sections. You've got the first one, for God so loved the world. The second one, that He gave His only begotten Son. The third part, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. After points 1 and 3, you can ask the question why. So, for instance, God gave his only son. Why? Well, go to the next part. So if we believe in him, we'll have everlasting life. And then you can ask again, God gave his only son. Why? It's because he loved the world. So it wasn't just because he loved us, it was so we can have everlasting life. But ultimately, he wants us to have everlasting life because he loves us. So it kind of goes back on itself. For the application for this, we know that God's love doesn't have a limit on it, obviously. I've said that a couple times already. Not everyone thinks and acts just like us. I think that's, if you hadn't realized that, you know, before this week, you probably know that now. And one thing, this is something that I know Amanda and I talk a lot about. I am privileged to have most of my immediate family is saved. Most of Amanda's immediate family is not. And so we're constantly talking about, like, oh, why do they do this? Or why does he do this? Or he say that? Or she says this? Or does that? We can't expect unsaved people to act like us and to think like us and do like we do and say the things we do, because honestly, they don't know any better. And if they do know any better, ultimately, they don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them to bring conviction upon them. So we can't expect them to act like us because they're not saved. So I think just with everything going on in the world right now and in our country, you know, so it's tough for me to just not get angry at what's going on. And you start thinking about things and you realize, oh my goodness, you know, we're going downhill fast. And it's tough to get discouraging to the point where I thought this before, and Amanda said this to me just yesterday, was, I think I'm just going to stop watching the news. You know, because it seems like everything's depressing. But like what was just mentioned earlier, nothing's changed. You know, we all still know who's in control. Think about, going back right back to John 3:16. Do you think God wasn't in control when he gave his one and only son to die on the cross for us? You know, he was in control now, he was in control then, and he'll always be in control. And it's one of those things that's tough to wrap your mind around. You know, death obviously isn't something we can control. We can be in a hospital, on a hospital bed, with all of the things hooked up to us. But ultimately, when it's our time to go, it's our time to go. But to wrap your mind around the fact that somebody died and were able to bring themselves ultimately back to life, you know, God was in control of all of that. And the third thing to remember, this is basically repeating the first part again, because it's so important. God's love is for everyone. If I didn't say that yet, let me say it again. God's love is for everyone. Whoever, wherever, whenever, and however. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what point this is in your life, doesn't matter where you are, and it doesn't matter, well, it matters, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but what brings you to the point of salvation, how that happens, doesn't matter. You know, the point is that you get saved. Just as one thought here on the Father's love as we're wrapping up. This is in Luke 23:39-43, if you want to turn there. It says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other one, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. You know, this guy, we don't have a whole lot of, you know, his life story. We pretty much just have his final moment. But we see more than likely he lived a life of crime, or maybe he just did one crime and he got busted for it. I don't know. But we do know that until his last moments before he died, he hadn't surrendered his life to Christ. And though we look around us and think, boy, things are going downhill fast, we got to keep pressing on. Remember to show God's love to everyone around us, because they may be watching, which is one thing that Amanda and I talk about. It's tough to tell our family members, crack open the Bible and sit down through it. They don't want to do that. But one thing they can do is look at Amanda and myself and look at our marriage and how we live our lives. And that, a lot of times, can speak in and of itself. I don't mean just us, but I mean as a whole, we live our lives for Christ and just act in ways that show His love. And lastly, I just want to read this last little verse from this song that I think really was pretty amazing. I don't remember the exact name of it, but we don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve His love, but ultimately He willingly gave it for us, or gave it to us. It says, "But when I get where I'm going and I see my Maker's face, I'll stand forever in the light of His amazing grace." So that's just something to think about. I know, again, like I said, I'm not a real deep guy. Our whole Bible study tonight was pretty much on John 3:16, which is something we all have memorized. But I hope that you're challenged in this world that we live in to just continue to show God's love to everyone around us. I'll pray and we can close and get on our way. Lord, thank You for this evening. Thank You for the time that midweek we can set aside, get together, lift up prayer requests and praises that we have going on in our lives. And we just ask that as we leave here tonight, we go out our separate ways, that You would guide each of us and protect us wherever we may be going, Lord. Just constantly remind us throughout the day. I know that in a few days, a lot of us in this room may not even remember what was talked about tonight, Lord, but I just pray that as we go on throughout our lives, we would constantly remember that every person we come into contact, no matter who they are, where it is, how we came into contact with them, how old they are, how young they are, Lord, it's never too early and it's never too late for somebody to surrender their life to You. So we just pray that You would remind us of the love that You showed for us, even though we don't deserve it. And may we show that to other people. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.